All right, so we are holding Chaf Beis on the days at the Mishnah. We said in the previous Mishnah that Bal Keri is not supposed to be learning Torah, or is not supposed to be learning Torah or davening, and therefore we said what parts of davening should he be saying versus thinking versus not even, he doesn't even have to think at all because they're midrabanan, and that led us into the whole discussion of how much, to what extent that din applies nowadays. Okay, so continuing on that topic, the Mishnah says, "Hoya omer b'tfila, a person is standing in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, v'nizkashu b'alkeri, he remembers that he is a b'alkeri, lo yapsik, he shouldn't break off Shmoneh Esrei at that point in the middle, because even if we say that Shmoneh Esrei, even if we say that tfila in general is d'rabbanan, or even if we say that tfila is d'araisa, but the actual nusach is d'rabbanan, either way, he's already in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, so he shouldn't break it off, eli kaser, but he should shorten it. He says each bracha in a shorter, form. So Mepharshim say, that means, for example, let's say, the first words of each bracha, and then the final, thing. For example, let's say, Atachon l'onam das, Baruch HaTashem k'nen adoff, HaShaveinu Avinu Tzarsecha, Baruch HaTashem aretz v'shova, etc., leaving out the middle of each one.
What's the concept of the ancient Esrei?
Because that would be, Main Shmoneh Esrei would be having Yenu. That would be, I guess, if he remembered while he was still doing the early brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. But once he's already started some of the middle brachas, he's not going to be saying having Yenu then, I guess.
So why doesn't he say
Shmoneh Esrei? I know those are Shmoneh Esrei.
Right, that's Main Shmoneh Esrei is called Havi Neinu, where you said we're going to learn about it later on in the fourth paragraph. We're going to talk about it where you have the first three brachas complete, then a one paragraph that includes the themes of the 13 middle brachas, and then the last three brachas complete. Right, but over here, he being a Valkyrie, for example, he's not going to be saying the last three brachas complete either, which is what you would do with Havi Neinu. Even there also, he's just going to be saying a short version of it. Ritzei Hashem alekeinu b'am kol Yisrael, Baruch Atah Hashem alach shekhinah asa l'tzion, or something to that effect. Okay.
Why doesn't it just the bracha?
Because you have to have, the main body of the bracha as well, in some form. Okay. After all, I mean, the takana is that each of these brachas should have a certain form. It should have a body, and then it has an end, Baruch Atah Hashem, whatever. So you have to have that. Okay. Yorad Litvo. Suppose now the person is going down to Tovel. Here we could be talking about a Bal Keri or any person that's Tovel for any reason. And it's early in the morning, and it's already almost time for Shema. Im Yachal Lalas or Leskasis Velikris Ad Shalot Heir Netzachama. If he's able to get out of the mikveh and dress and say Kriya Shema before Netzachama, Yalav Yiskasis Velikra, then he has to do that. He has to get out of the mikveh and then get himself dressed and then say Kriya Shema. And if not, if there's not enough time for that, you scat him a mind vehicle. Then he should just cover himself with the water and say Shema. Now when he's covering himself, he shouldn't be covering himself with smelly water, because you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema around that. Or with water that was used for soaking flax, which also smells bad. Me'am Mishra, Mayim Aroyim would be where it smells bad, for example, because Mayim Aroyim would be in general, where it's spoiled for any reason, but whether there's bacteria growing in it, or there's excrement in it, whatever.
It's just for bacteria, it's for anyone.
No, so you were saying it is for anyone. So, V'loy B'me'am Mishra, or in water in which flax is soaked, which also smells bad because the flax stems rot in it. Unless he pours other water in them to neutralize the smell. How far does a person have to stay away from such kind of dirty water? Or Rashi says also from meraglayim, from urine, or minatsoya, or from excrement. A person has to stay away, dalet amos, at least dalet amos, in order to say Shema. Actually, we're going to learn later that to be exact what it is, it's going to be dalet amos from where the smell ends. You have, for example, there's a puddle of urine on the ground over there. You can smell it from a certain distance away from the point where you can't smell it anymore. Then you need 4 hours away from that.
So what is it? Is it the smell? Is it the vision?
It's a smell. But we're gonna see it's both. Wait, we're gonna see that sometimes it's both. When we say over here Mayim Haroyim, the Pashtus, we're not talking about just that. We're going to see in the Gemara, there are certain kinds of things that you're not allowed to say Shema near them, whether they smell or not. And then there's other things we're going to talk later on. We're going to talk about there's certain things where if they smell bad and will disturb a person's kavana, then he's not supposed to be near them. Just the fact that something smells bad in and of itself is not necessarily a reason that you have to stay away from it, unless either the smell is so bad that it's that is bizoyan to Shema or to Shemana Esri or whatever the daven there, or that it distracts the person. But then you have certain things, in particular, meraglayim and soya, urine and excrement, where a person is not allowed to say Shema with the near them, even if they don't smell. Okay, so we'll get into that. Again, as the Mishnah had said, a person is standing in the middle of Shemana Esrei. He realizes that he's a Balkari. As we said in the Mishnah, he doesn't break off Shemana Esrei. He just shortens each of the brachas and does it. What's another case? What if he's reading from the Torah and he remembers that he's a Balkari? The Pasha doesn't mean the Balkari. The Pasha doesn't mean getting an Aliyah. But it could also mean learning, but the pashas, it means it can include any of them, whether he's getting an aliyah, in those days they didn't have a balkari, every person made their own aliyah, but again. So, Venice for sure balkari, and he remembers that he's a balkari, aiming mafsik va'ola, again, he doesn't break off right there, and stop, elam gamgim bakore, he hurries through it. We learned on Omar Aleph, we have the case over there of the guy who was Megamgim in front of Rabbi Hudim and Vesera. There we had a couple of explanations what it means, but here also you have those various explanations. It doesn't mean like he hurries through it and doesn't pronounce the words correctly. It doesn't mean he leaves out the name of Hashem or whatever, so you should do that.
It happened to you, was told him.
What?
It happened to this soul, he would be late again and skip it. I should have been to sell it.
Well, they're right. But keep in mind, I mean, this halacha doesn't apply to this extent nowadays, right. So you don't have to go to Vesera anymore. Rabbi Meir Omer Ein Balkari Rashoi Likas Patari Yosim Gimel Pesukim. Rabbi Meir says, never mind that, a Balkari is not allowed to read more than three Pesukim in the Torah. So in other words, once he's reached three Pesukim, then he has to break off the Aliyah right there.
That's not a
problem. Yeah. Tanya Idach. This is what we're talking about. When a person gets an aliyah, they have to have at least three psukim. So the same thing over here. Even he's a balkari, so he can't. He can just lay in that minimum amount that he needs for his aliyah, and then he has to break off it. Tanya idach. Then we learn in another brayso. Hoya owned the tefillah v'roat soya kenegdei. Person is standing and davening Shemana Esrei, and he sees excrement in front of him. Mahalach lefanav. What he should do is he has to start walking forward, Adchi's Rakenal Akhur of Dalit Amos, until he puts it at least four Amos behind him. So he's standing over here, he finds the Soya here, he has to start walking until the Soya is at least four Amos behind him.
Why not go back?
Because it's still going to be in front of him.
In any direction could be four Amos.
No, but that's, so the question is, Baltanya looks Dodin. We learn in another Braith that he should move until the point where it's to his side. The answer is, Loikasha, Hodja Eksha, Hodja Loikasha. The answer is, there's a difference whether he's able to go that far forward for it to be four Amos behind him, or if not, if there's not enough room to go that far forward, all there is enough room or ability or whatever to be able to go far enough that it's to his side, then that'll do. But Lachatchila, it should be at least four Amos behind him. So that's why you're saying, why he doesn't go backward, because no matter what, it's still going to be in front of him. Later on, no, it's not in front of him. That's fine. But the point is, at least there's two things. It shouldn't be in your field of vision. That's called Meloy Einav. We're going to talk about that later in the Gemara. And also, it shouldn't be within four Amos of you, or rather, the smell shouldn't be within four Amos of you. So the best thing is that's completely behind you, and it's not at all in your field of vision. But if you can't do that, then at least to the sides is the next best thing.
So when you say you go forward, certain amount of time is going still to be in your field of vision. So therefore
you stop Shemana Esrei while you're doing that walking, you stop Shemana Esrei.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to see soon, we're going to talk about whether you have to then in that case start Shemana Esrei over again. We're going to get into that in a minute. Okay. What happens in another case where a person is davening Shemana Esrei and he finds soya in the same area? So he finds that he happened to be within four Amos of it, for example. Omar Rabba, Avapishachata, Tfilah, Tfilah. So Rabba says, yes, he did wrong because he should have first checked whether there's a player there. Nevertheless, his Tfilah is valid, Vidya, that he doesn't have to daven over again. Mas Yisrael Rabba. So Rabba says, what are you talking about? Well, Zevach Roshoyim Te'eva. Don't we have a concept that the korban that's brought by Roshoyim is disgusting to Hashem? And he also should be considered Zevach Roshoyim because he should have known better. He should have checked. Ella Omar Rabba, and Tosfos says over here, now we're talking about a place, we're not talking about the previous case, we're talking about there was no particular reason to think there'd be soya in this area. All of a sudden, he's in the middle of Shemana Esrei and he realizes there is some over there. The case we're talking about over here is where there's good reason to think that there might be soya over there. So one example, actually, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is a place where there are little kids. because there you often have, you know, once a kid reaches a certain age, I think we're going to talk about it later on in the Gemara, once a kid reaches a certain minimum age, then you have to stay away from those tzoyah when they're a little baby, and they're still only nursing, then you don't, but later on you do. So if you have a house where there are kids in it, then that's very likely to be a place where there's tzoyah. Remember, they didn't have diapers in those days. So therefore, you have to check in advance. And therefore, if you didn't check in advance, then it's considered zevach l'shoyim. Elo amar Rava. So Rava says, in fact, you're right. Hoyo v'chata, since he did the savera.
It's twice Rava.
No, masterful Rava, Elo Amar Rava. So Rava, that was Rava.
No, but it's written.
Okay. Amar Rava, so Rava had said, Afa Pishachot Tfilah Tfilah, but masterful Rava, but Rava asked on him, how could that be? Vazevach Roshayim Teva, Elo Amar Rava, Hoyo Vachota. So Rava says, no, rather what it is, since he did the Savera, Afa Pishachot Tfilah Teva. So even if he already davened Shemana Esrei, nevertheless, his Tfilah is Teva. So what does that mean, therefore? Tosfos brings two possibilities. One, it means it's Me'uvas Lo Yochaliska, and there's no way of fixing it up. He can't daven over again, because the fact is he did already daven Shemana Esrei, and he was Yotze. On the other hand, it was Teyeva. So according to the first explanation of Tosfos, he's stuck. You can't daven over again. Maybe Tosfos would say that, maybe what Tosfos would say, he could daven a Tfilas Nedava, but not necessarily. If we're calling him a Rosha, maybe not. Then Tosfos says, the Reed says that no, what it means is you have to daven over again. That is how it's passed in Shulchan Aruch. So in this kind of case, a person had reason to think there might be tzoyah over there. He went and davened anyway without bothering to check. Sure enough, it turned out there's some. He has to daven again. Interesting point over here, since we're saying that when the Zevach Roshoyim Te'eva, when a person davened in a Rosh's way, you have to daven over again. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this, for example, by the same token. Let's say, for example, davening without a yarmulke is also, without a head covering, is also an example of Te'eva, because one reason you're not allowed to go bareheaded, is because it's Chukas HaGoyim, because the Goyim do that nowadays, especially in their churches or whatever. Therefore, he passes them on the basis of this Gemara. Same idea. Person davened Shemana Esrei, let's say, without wearing a yarmulke. And then he realizes, but Moshe says, based on this, you have to daven over again. Okay. Well, I think Rav Avadia Yosef argues it, maybe even if he doesn't realize it, if he didn't deliberately go to daven bareheaded, but the yarmulke fell off in the middle, but yeah. Okay. All right, turn it up on me. Suppose a person is standing.
When you with a talis on your head is not enough.
No, that's it's covering. I'm talking about if a person daven completely bareheaded. A person is standing and davening Shemana Esrei, umayim shoisesin al birkav, and there's water, there's urine dribbling on his knees. In other words, he can't hold himself in, and he's starting to urinate. Post it, he has to stop davening for the moment. Ad sheyichlu hamayim, wait until the urine stops. V'chozer mispalel, and then he can continue davening Shemana Esrei. Now, we're going to talk about later on that you're not allowed to daven when there's urine around. Actually, we mentioned it briefly in the Mishnah. So how does that work over here? So Tosfos brings up a couple of possibilities. One is where he urinated on the ground and it got soaked into the ground. So then there's no issue because there's no urine there. And then the smell also goes away fairly quickly if it doesn't get absorbed into the ground. Well, okay. In particular, it's not tefeach hamanas lat piach. It's not wet enough that if you were to touch it and then touch something else with that same hand, it will become wet. In halacha, when it's not tefeach hamanas lat piach, it's considered dry. So in that case, it's considered dry, and you could dab it over there. And in this case, the Tosfos points out, since anyway, he's not urinating in a stream, it's just a dribble, so therefore it's very likely to get absorbed very quickly and then dry out quickly. The other possibility, Tosfos says, is even if it's wet enough, even if it is tefeach hamanas lat piach, later on, the Gemara is going to establish, later on, when we discuss this further on Chof Gimel, Chof Dalet, we're going to talk about that midaraisa, a person is only not allowed to daven Shemana Esrei when in front of a person who's actually urinating. Only when you see the actual stream of urine. Midaraisa, you would be allowed to when the urine is on the ground or soaked into clothing or whatever. So here, what it is because since you're not doing it right in front of that, it's only the jabbanon that you have that when there's urine soaked into the ground or clothing or in a puddle or whatever that you're not allowed to. Over here, he's already in Shemana Esrei, so we're not going to make him start all over again unless he stopped long enough that he could have said the whole Shemana Esrei, as we're going to say in a minute.
Right.
The other Rishonim also point out that we may be talking, one possibility is we're talking about a case over here where let's say some of it did get absorbed into his clothing, but it's only on his underclothing. His outer clothing is still dry. On the other hand, that would then we say he's able to continue Shemona Esrei even though his inner clothing is wet, because at least his outer clothing is dry and presentable. And then it talks about further in Shulchan Aruch, but actually not necessarily. Even if his outer clothing is wet, still the fact is if he has to go and change, that's going to be a huge interruption in Shemona Esrei, so they may not require him to do that. Okay. So Lahechan Chos, all these things are brought in Shulchan Aruch. So Lahechan Chos, I mean, nowadays it's not Baruch Hashem, a very common thing, but one thing, it comes up sometimes is you have a person in the hospital with a catheter, then you have the whole question, at what point is he allowed and not allowed to daven? And a related question is, are you allowed to say Shema? Well, are you allowed to say Shema and Shemana Esrei and other Divrei Kedusha when the bag or the catheter bag or thing or whatever is there? So basically, I think what the poskim say is if you cover the bag, there's certainly no problem because there's no smell, exactly. It's sealed shut, there's no smell. So you cover it, so you're not actually in front of the urine. And as far as the person himself, when the urine is actually coming out into the catheter, at that point he shouldn't be davening or saying Shema or whatever. But once it's stopped, then he's allowed to continue. So now the question is, when the person is finished with, when the urine has stopped dribbling, where does he go back to in Shemona Esrei? Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna argue on that. Chab Amal Choyza L'Rosh, one says that he has to start all the way over from the beginning of Shemona Esrei. But Chab Amal Makom Shepasek. The other one says, no, he only has to start over from where he stopped. He stopped in the middle of some bracha, he starts over from the beginning of that same bracha. So the one says, Lema Baha Kamisik. Do we have to say that the machloikas between Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna depends on the following point? You may have a general machloikas where the one who says choyza l'rosh would say in general, when a person stopped in the middle of Shemona Esrei or other things like Shema and Halal or other examples, if he stopped for a long enough time that during that time he could have finished the entire thing from beginning to end, that is, and we go, by the way, according to the person's own speed. So you have, let's say, a person usually speed reads Shema, let's say, or a person usually speed reads Shemona Esrei, let's say, for example, and he usually finishes it in 3 minutes, then for him the shiur would be 3 minutes. So he holds choyza l'rosh, that the person would then have to start all over again. And the other one would say in general that you only have to start over from where you stopped. You don't have to start from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So should we say that that's the machlokas, which we're going to have later on. And we're going to have later on in the parish, we're going to have a similar machlokas as far as Shema. So should we say they're arguing the same way about Shema and Esrei? Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says that can't be the machlokas. In that case, then, they shouldn't have said choyza l'rosh or l'makom shepasak. They should have said whether it depends how long he paused for. Was it long enough to complete the whole Shemona Esrei or was it not? No, rather what we'll say is both of them agree that if he stopped Shemona Esrei long enough that during that time he could have finished the entire Shemona Esrei, then he has to start over again. So the machloikas here is only rather if he didn't stop that amount of time. So in our scenario, let's say, for example, from when he realized that urine is dribbling until he's finished and he can resume Shemona Esrei is only 2 minutes. So now the question is, does he have to start over? Do we say, so we would say if he stopped for 3 minutes, then he would actually have to be choyza l'rosh according to both of them. But because in this case it was less than that, Demarasava Gavra Dechoyahu, so one of them holds, the fact of the matter is, he himself was pushed off, he himself should not have been dominant Shemona Esrei in the first place in this condition, because he had a bad need to urine, that's obviously why it's dribbling out now, so therefore he shouldn't have been davening at that point in the first place, he should have gone to the bathroom first. The Ein Roy, therefore to begin with he wasn't Roy to daven, the Ein Tefillah to Tefillah, so his Tefillah was not a valid Tefillah, so this that he davened up until this point, and he got, let's say, until Ashivenu, and then he couldn't hold himself in anymore, then to begin with, he shouldn't have davened Shemona Esrei in that condition, and therefore we're going to make him start over again. Well, Marisava Gavra Chazia, whereas the other one holds, okay, it may be true that he couldn't have hold himself in, but at least as much as he's able to before it starts coming out, then at least he was suitable to daven, or Tefillah to Tefillah, and his Tefillah is a valid Tefillah.
you said it's hard to understand because you have to go far away to the bathroom.
Well, that's actually a good point, right? In those days, you'd have to go quite some distance to go to the bathroom, right? So you may not have bothered.
And
nowadays, when you have bathrooms,
you
would still have to have some kind of privacy. So a person might not have had bothered to whatever. Okay. Gavra Chazyahu means he was suitable to daven, even if he was in that condition where he needed badly to go to the bathroom. Nevertheless, the other opinion holds it was still valid of him to begin daven. Okay. The question is over here then, so what is the actual halacha as far as this business of Choza L'Rosh? Suppose we start the discussion on the previous Amud about when do we say Choza L'Rosh, when a person pauses in the middle of a mitzvah, when not. There's a lot of opinions of Rishonim about it. Do we say that in general, any time a person paused in the middle, then if it was long enough, then Choza L'Rosh, and they would talk about that it applies not only to Shemana Esrei but also to Shema and also to Hallel and also Megillah and various other things, or do we say that it applies, or do we say only if he had to start Machmas Oynus, only if there was some kind of Oynus, and then within that, do we say that it's only if the Oynus was an onus that where halacha tells him that he has to stop, like in this case over here, where he had to stop because he was urinating, or does it apply also where it was an onus where halacha doesn't care one way or the other? As far as halacha is concerned, he could have continued davening. Let's say you have, for example, somebody. Let's say you have a goy that's interrupting him or whatever. Or does it? Do we say that even then he has to start over again if he was shor kedei ligmor eskoila, or maybe not? In Shulchan Aruch, the bottom line is it passes like this. When it comes to Shemana Esrei, we're more machmir, because you have more opinions of poskim who say that this whole concept of shakar de rigmaros kolach chozel rosh applies only to Shemana Esrei, as we're discussing over here. So therefore, there, if there was any kind of onus, whether it was an onus of halacha or any other kind of onus, if it was shakar de rigmaros kolach chozel rosh, if it was just that the person paused in the middle of Shemana Esrei for some other reason, then he's able to continue even if it was a long pause. When it comes to other things, then we say only if it was an onus of the kind the way halacha prevents him from saying it. For example, in this case where he was urinating.
So it's the amount of time.
So we say we go according to the amount of time it takes for this particular person to say Shema, or the whole Shema Esrei, or the whole Hallel, or whichever thing it is we're talking about. If he paused for that amount of time, and it was long enough, and it was because of any kind of onus, then he has to start over again. When it comes to other things, we say only if it was an onus that we're because halacha prevents him from saying it. For example, because he was urinating or whatever.
So then we allow him to go on.
And then again, if he paused for that amount of time, then he has to start over again.
In any situation.
Let's look at the actual halacha as it comes out in Shulchan Aruch. Let's continue and we'll see. Okay. Fine. Tana Rabbanah. Since we mentioned this concept that when a person has to go to the bathroom, he shouldn't be davening. Tana Rabbanah. Hanitzrach l'nekavav. Okay, so here we go then, actually. So, okay, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is like this. So if a person is in the middle of Shema, if he pauses, and a pause, by the way, can also mean that he's talking in the middle, even if it was Shah Kedei Ligmaros Kula, even if it was Machmas Oynus, okay, so first there's an opinion that even if it was Machmas Oynus, he doesn't have to start over, only by Shemana Esrei. Then Yesh Omrim, that within onus itself, there's a difference whether it was an onus that halacha would prevent him, or whether it was a practical onus that prevented him. So if he stopped not machmas onus and he could have continued, then he can just continue from where he stopped. And then when it comes to Shema and so forth, then it depends whether it was an onus machmas, whether it was an onus of halacha or some other kind of onus. Yeah. Okay.
So without
an onus, you definitely don't have to start over again. Not by Shema, not by Shema Esrei. when there was an onus, then it depends what kind of onus. Sorry, yeah. When it comes to Shema versus Shemoneh Esrei, then you have a difference what kind of onus it was. Okay, you have, like I said, you have a few different opinions of poskim in this. Okay, what's on? If a person has to go to the bathroom, then he should not daven. If he did, then his tefillah is called te'eva. It's called disgusting to Hashem, and it's no good. You have, by the way, there's a machlokes poskim. Does this apply only if he had to defecate, or does it apply also even if he had to urinate? Lamaisi, you should be careful about both. Primarily, some of the poskim say that primarily we're talking about. Yeah, okay. That would only apply if he was not able to hold himself back for that amount, for a certain amount of time. But if he is able to hold himself back, then his tefillah is a valid tefillah. So what's the shiur? How much does it have to be that the person would have been able to hold himself back? So Rav Sheshes says up to a parsa. So a meal is 18 minutes walk. A parasa is 4 meals, so it's 72 minutes. So as long as the person feels that he would have been able to hold himself in for at least 72 minutes, then we're saying he's allowed to daven. Ika demasni lamasni. So then there are some who learn that statement of the Bamed Bar Mamurim, that it's part of the braisa itself, Bamed Bar Mamurim, and not a separate statement of Rav Sheshes. When do we say that he's not allowed to daven is where he's not allowed to hold himself back? But if he's able to hold himself back, then his tefillah is a valid tefillah. So how much would that be? So then Rav Zvid comes in and says up to a parsa. So either way, it amounts to the same thing. If a person is able to hold himself back to the extent of walking the parasa, then he is allowed to daven. Although even then, it's still better, as we learned before, that the proper way to accept O Malchus Shemayim is to go to the bathroom first and then do it, and that way there's no possibility of interruption or anything. Okay. But if it's less than that, then the person is not allowed to daven. And if he did, then stay there. Okay. Omer of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omer of Yonasan. A person who needs to use the bathroom should not be davening, because the pasuk says, prepare yourself to greet your God, Yisrael. So in other words, you have to prepare yourself, you have to go to the bathroom beforehand. So you're not in a situation where you're feeling the need to when you daven. But Amr of Shmuel Menachmeni, Amr of Yonasan, my dichtiv, also of Shmuel Menachmeni says, what does it mean? What does it mean? The pasuk in Tehelos, Shmur Raglecha Kasher Telech Al Beis Ha'Elikim. The pasuk says, pasuk in Tehelos, guard your feet when you go to the house of Hashem. So he's going to explain that doesn't directly relate to what we were talking about. But the next thing, we're going to have another explanation that refers this pasuk to this business about making sure to go to the bathroom before davening. But first, what does it mean? It means like this: Shmur Asmachar Shleitzah. Means in the first place, be careful that you don't do averus, and then, because if you do, then raglecha, then your feet are going to have to walk to the house of Hashem, to the Beit Mikdash, to bring a korban chatos. So be careful about in the first place. Okay, so the whole pasuk goes like this. The whole pasuk goes, Shmur raglecha kasha telecha beit ha'likim, guard your feet when you go to the house of Hashem, v'korev l'shmaya, and be near to listen, mitesa ksilim zavach, rather than the fools who give a korban, ki enam yodim la'asasura, because they don't know to do evil. So we're going to explain what that pasuk means. So Shmur raglecha kasha telecha beit ha'likim means be careful in the first place to avoid doing an aveira, so you don't wind up having to go to the Beit Mikdash and bring a korban. The im techta, but if you do an avera, have a korban lefanai, then you bring a korban, then bring a korban before Hashem. The korev l'shmaya, divrei chachamim, but be close to listen to the words of the chachamim. Well, actually, okay, it's not supposed to be, divrei chachamim is not supposed to be over here. It's just the korev l'shmaya, be closer to listen, in other words, to be doing tshuva when you're doing that korban. Omar Rava, so Rava says what it means is have a korev l'shmaya divrei chachamim. So it means, so what does it mean the korev l'shmaya? It means Rava says have a korev l'shmaya divrei chachamim means be careful, be close to listening to the way the chachamim do things. which means Shem Chotim Mevim Korban Va'osim Tshuva. If they do an Avera, then they bring a Korban, but along with the Korban, they also do Tshuva. Rather than being the case of Ksilim Zavach, rather than the way the fools give it, meaning Al Tehik Ksilim, don't be like the foolish people, Shechotim Mevim Korban Va'enosim Tshuva. Where they do an Avera, they bring a Korban, they don't understand the importance of doing Tshuva with it. So better you did an Avera, you're going to bring a Korban, then at least be like a Chacham and do Tshuva along with it. And the Pasuk finishes off, Ki Einam Yodim Lasis Ra. The Pasuk finishes, they don't know, because they don't know how to do evil. So what does that mean? They don't know how to do evil. If they don't know how to do evil, then they're tzaddikim. They never do anything bad. Ela no. What it means is, it means don't be like the fools who do an Avera and bring a Korban. They don't even realize whether they're bringing it for something good or something bad. They don't even realize that they did wrong in the first place to do Tshuva, and therefore don't be like them. You did an Avera, at least realize what you did wrong, and when you're bringing the Korban, do Tshuva with it. The Tzvah also explains what it means is, like this, when a person does Tshuva, we know that a person can do Tshuva at a level where his Zonus Nasim Kazachi, it's where his deliberate Averas become like Tzchusim. So then when a person brings a Korban in that frame of mind, then good, there's no Ra involved, there's bringing a Korban, but there's also good involved, that he did complete Tshuva. On the other hand, he's going to be like these Ksilim, then there's still Ra over there, there's still he failed to do Tshuva, or failed to do Tshuva properly, and then that's not the preferable kind of Korban. Rav Ashi became Rav Chanina bar Papa Amar. What it means is Shmor Nekavecha b'Shar Shata Omer B'Shil Lefanai. The word is positive. Shmor Raglecha means be careful of your orifices, your holes in your body that urine and excrement come out of, which are between your legs. So therefore, it's called Raglecha, means between your legs. B'Shar Shata Omer B'Shil Lefanai. When you're standing in Tefillah before Hashem, be careful about them, that you're not in a situation where you need to go to the bathroom and to use those. If a person has to go into the bathroom, so he's wearing tefillin. In those days, they wore tefillin all day. I mean, nowadays, of course, it's relevant during Shachris when a person is wearing tefillin. He has to take off his tefillin 4 amos away from the bathroom, and only then does he go in. Omer of Acha bar Rav Huna, Omer Rav Sheshes, lo shonu ela beis hakiseh kavua. That applies only to a permanent beis hakiseh where there is excrement over there. Rashi points out the regular beis hakiseh over there, not only it wasn't in a building like we have nowadays or with a toilet or whatever, but also the soya would be right there on the ground. There wasn't even necessarily a hole in the ground for the soya to fall into. The kind where there is a hole in the ground later on we're going to deal with at the end of the parish what the dinim of those are. So you have to take off your tefillin at least 4 amos away from there. Avo beis hakiseh arai, but if it's just a casual beis hakiseh, meaning in other words that they only started using it now as a beis hakiseh and there's no tzoya there yet, cholus v'nifna l'alta, then the person does not have to take off his tefillin 4 amos away. He can take off his tefillin and go to the bathroom right there. On the other hand, once he leaves, then he has to stay at least 4 amos away, and only then can he put back the tefillin and finish asoy beis hakiseh kavua, because now he made it into a permanent beis hakiseh. Because now there's soya there. Now that he just went, then there's soya over there. Therefore, he needs. So we're talking about an open place in the field, just a
kavua.
So now it became kavua. Now the first time that it was used, it became kavua. So you have a place where it's available to use for a beis hakiseh. It hasn't been used yet. So until it's actually been used, then he's able to wear his tefillin until he gets right there. But now he has to put them on only when he gets 4 hours away. Okay. So now we have the question. This is what we're talking about. The person is going into the bathroom because he needs to excrete. He needs to defecate. But what about Maoshi Konas Adam Tfilon, the Beis HaKiseh Kavua, La Hashtin Mayim? Would a person be able to go to a Beis HaKiseh Kavua just in order to urinate? The premise of the Gemara over here is that just urinating by itself is not reason enough to take off his tefillin. It's only defecation would be reason enough to, because again, we said already before, and we're going to discuss later on, that the dinim about urine in halacha are a little more lenient than the ones about soil, because urine, we said before, that the Gemara is going to quote later, that minat torah you're only osur when you're actually in front of the stream of urine, as opposed to with soya, even when it's just lying there on the ground, there's an issue with it. So the question is now, again, is he able to go, is he able to go into a Beis HaKisei Kavua where he's just intending to urinate? So Ravina Shori, Ravina allows it. Rav Adar Bar Masna also. Whereas Rav Adar Bar Masna says it's also. Also Shailua L'Rava, so they came and asked Rava, what's the halacha? Amar Hu Asur. So he says, like with Adar Bar Masna, it is Asur, not in and of itself because of the urine itself, but because Chayshin and Shem Yifana Behen, because since it is already a Beis HaKisei Kavua, we're concerned that then he may go and continue and then sit down there and excrete also and then defecate also, and then that would be that he's not allowed to do in the Tefillin. So when it's a Beis HaKisei Arai and people have not previously used it for Tzolya, then fine, you're able to go there and urinate. We're not concerned that all of a sudden you're going to decide you need to defecate as well. But over here, where it's a Beis HaKisei Kavua and people regularly use it for that purpose, so even if you only went in there to urinate, we're concerned that
If they didn't know the deen, why did they make it a deen?
What do you mean they didn't know the deen? They're saying what their opinion would be. My opinion is it should be also my opinion. That's what it means. When they say also a mutter, what do you think they're getting it from? Either they got it from their rabbeim of a previous generation,
yeah.
or they're coming up with it on their own.
They have an opinion.
What do you mean, how can they have
it? Up.
Because you have an opinion, and then you ask for Rav, what is the actual halacha? That's how it works.
The logic
is that's how it works. That you come up with an opinion. I say that it should be also. And what do you mean? What do you think? When Basil and the Shama say also and Mutter. When Rameyu and Rabbi Akiva say Tomei or Tahor or whatever. What do you think? That's how it works. Yeah. Okay. The Amri Law. Another version of what Rava says is the problem is not that Shemi Yifana Behen, that he might actually go to the bathroom with them, but Shemi Yafiach Behen. The other version is that the problem is that he might pass gas in them. And that also you're not allowed to do while you're wearing tefillin. Okay. Another braisa says if a person is going into a Beis HaKisei Kavua, what he does is he takes off his tefillin at least 4 amos away from there. And then he puts them into a window or a cubby or whatever that in the wall that faces towards Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Now you have like this. Again, here we're talking about you have a place that's a semi, that's a permanent or semi-permanent Beis HaKisei. So you can have where it's not a completely open area, but there's a wall between it and Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Now the problem is if you put them, you have holes in the wall regularly where people would put their things while they're going to the bathroom. But if you put it on the inside side of the wall, it's more likely that it's going to be damaged or taken away by mice. So therefore, we're saying better to put it in the side, which is on the bathroom side, and it's also not really right to have Triller in the bathroom. Therefore, we should put him on the side that faces Rosh Hashanah Rabin. V'nichnas, and then he goes in and does what he needs. Uchshur Yoyte, then when he leaves, Marchuk Dalan Amos Manichan, then he goes 4 Amos away, and then he puts him on, Divrei Beis Shammai. That's what Beis Shammai says, that he has to do that. Beis Hillel says that he's able to hold them in his hand and go into the bathroom.
No one mentions about washing your hands.
Well, I mean, they had to, at some point, you have to wash your hands. But right now, when you're going to the bathroom out in the field or whatever, you don't have anything available to wash your hands. So Basil is saying that you don't have to put them into the holes in the wall at all. You hold them in your hand, and then you just hold them in your hand and go into the bathroom holding them while you're holding them. This is all talking about, by the way, again, when we're talking about when it's out in the fields or whatever, when it's inside a building and you have some place to put your tefillin, then none of these potatoes apply. Then you have to put them someplace else in the building and do what you need to do. One place where this is slightly relevant nowadays is when a person is traveling, like in the airport or whatever, and they have to use one of the airport bathrooms. So then, you know, so later on, we'll talk about Kaylee, which is how you do it. You don't really have cubbies or lockers or whatever nowadays for that purpose, and you can't just leave them out. So people will take them, but we'll talk later on about putting them one Kaylee inside and out.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the practically speaking. What you do is, for example, you take your tefillin and you put them inside your suitcase. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that point.
The suitcase.
Then you can take your suitcase in. So we'll get to that soon. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Oymo Oysen Bebigzoy Benechnas. Rabbi Akiva says that you don't hold them in your hands. You hold them in your clothing.
and then you go in. What do you mean? How's that? What do you mean you hold them in your clothing? Zimnin mishtali luhuvanafli. You hold them in your clothing. You put them in like in a fold of your clothing, whatever. You're likely to be careless, and then they're gonna fall on the ground. Ela ema. No, you're right. What Rabbi Akiva means is oichsin bigday over your day v'nichnas. What it means is you hold them with his clothing and with his hand, and then he goes in and goes to the bathroom. And then he goes in with them, held in his clothing, and his hand holding it in place inside his clothing, says Rabbi Akiva. And then when he goes in there, he puts them b'chorin asmuchim lebeis hakiseh. Then when he's in that area, he puts them in the holes that are close to the beis hakiseh. Not, like we said before, according to the Shammai, the holes that face the street, but rather the other side, the holes that face inside. You have a problem with mice, and you have a problem with that it's in the beis hakiseh, but nevertheless, the reason is for the reason that we're going to say now. He should not put them into the holes that are close to Rosh Hashanah, because passersby may take them. And the problem is not just that he lost the tefillin, now he has to get new tefillin. The problem is that now there's going to be chshad, that people are going to suspect that he gave away or sold his tefillin for an improper purpose. As in fact, we have a case. It happened once that a certain Talmud put his tefillin in one of these holes that are next to Rosh Hashanah. A certain Zona passed by and took them. Later on, she came to the Beit Medrash. Apparently, what happened was this poor guy was now, he's going and looking around for his tefillin, and he has no idea where they went. He's asking around, and then this Zorna comes to the Beis Medrash for Omer, and she says, "I know what happened with them. Look what this guy gave me for my seed." And he was so embarrassed. Kivet Shama Oisa Talmud Kach. When he heard that, he was so embarrassed. All over the Rosh Hashanah, it was enough of a mess. He went up to the roof, and then fell down and died out of embarrassment. But Oisa saw his skin. It was so at that point, the Chachamim made a takana. She had Oisin the big deal of Yad v'nichnas. Let him hold it in his clothing and his hand, and only go into the bathroom then, rather than leaving them in the chorim asmuchim l'shos rabim. And if he has to put them down, in particular, we're talking about, for example, you know, eventually you have to wipe. Then if he's going to put them in a hole, let him put them in a hole that's facing the bathroom rather than the other side where people might take them and you might have a situation like that.
Life wasn't easy.
What?
Life wasn't easy.
Yeah, really. Okay. Yeah.
I have a story that,
leave it for later.
A Holocaust, someone was trying to escape the Germans, was in a train, and he had to sit on his tefillin to avoid being recognized as being, you know.
So we actually talked about a few days ago the question, when you stay in the Sefer Torah, for example, are you allowed to sit on it? So here it would be a similar question. Are you allowed to sit on tefillin in order to save them? And I guess.
It's not to save them, it's to save them.
Well, okay. All right. Originally, when people were going to the bathroom, they would put their tefillin in the holes in the wall that are facing towards the Beis HaKiseh. The problem is that mice would come and take them away. By the way, you have to realize, I mean, first of all, mice over here can also mean rats, but you also have to realize many tefillin in those days were much smaller than they are nowadays. I've seen, for example, in the Israel Museum, where they have this tiny little pair of tefillin they found in the Dead Sea, and then they found them together with the Dead Sea Scrolls. They found this tiny little pair of tefillin, like each bias is maybe like this large. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if those may not have been proper tefillin. I mean, I think the parashiyos they found in them are not exactly the same as the parashiyos we have. So fine, those may have been from tzedukim or some such thing. But even the pashtos, even regular tefillin that from Jews were apparently were not quite the size that we have now. So yeah. Okay, so the mice would come and take them. So the Chachamim made a takana. Okay, so put them in the holes that are facing towards the Rosh Hashanah. The problem is, again, they're going over the drachim in the nose. And the problem is that then passersby come and take them, like we just said. So then the Chachamim made a takana. Okay, you hold them in your hand, and then you go in.
They could build the bathrooms all days on there with food.
Little cubbies. Well, so I guess that. Okay.
You have to hold them in a bag.
So without, if you have a bag available, obviously that's better. But if, right. But if you don't, then yeah, you just hold them in your hand. You don't put them in the holes facing the Mishnah case, because then you have the problem of mice. You don't put them in the ones facing the streets, the problem of people. So therefore, you just hold them. Okay. Halacha, the bottom line halacha in this connection, golem can mean safer. What you do is you wrap up the tefillin like a safer, like a safer Torah. But oysten be mina connected libra, and you hold them with your right hand in front of your heart, so they don't fall. So Rashi explains that what it means is golem means berusuas shalahem, means you wrap them up with their resuas, like the way we do when we wrap up our tefillin and put them away for the day, is we wrap them up, and it somewhat resembles a safer Torah. The Rambam understands it a little bit differently. He says that what it means is that he wraps them, like we said before, Rabbi Akiva said he wraps them in his clothes and holds them in his hands. So that's what it means. He wraps them in his clothes, so it resembles a Sefer Torah in its wrapping. And then he holds them, and then he holds them opposite his heart. Amr of Yosef, Amr Yumi, Amr of Nachman, Uvulvad, Shalai, Tehe Ritzua, Yosef, Metachas, Yodhi, Tefach. That only works provided that you don't have the Ritzuas, are not sticking out at a Tefach or more from his hand, because the Ritzuas have a certain Kedusha in them as well. Because after all, you have the Knots in them that have the Dalit and the Yod of Hashem's name, so the Ritzuas shouldn't be sticking out. If you have a tiny bit of the Ritzuas sticking out, that's fine, that's not so bad. But if you have a Tefach of them sticking out, then it's a bazillion to them also. Amr of Yaakov, Ba'acha, Amr of Zera. Loi Shanu, this whole thing that was saying about what you do when you're taking off the tefillin, that you hold them in your clothes, or you hold them, you wrap them up, and you hold them next to your heart, that is Loi Shanu Elish Yeshos Bayim Lobshan. That applies only if, when you're taking them off, there's still going to be enough time later on to put them back on. But if it's already late in the day, and by the time you're going to be finished and go out, you're anyway not going to have time to put them back on. Then you do not have this heter of just holding it in your hand or in your clothes or whatever. Then you have to make a kist. No, then you have to make a kist. You have to make a bag for them that's at least a tefach in size. Because a tef, then already it's considered a chosh of a keli. Then you're allowed to put them on the floor in such a keli. And you put them in that bag, and then you're allowed to put them on the floor. Once they're in a keli, that's at least a tefach in size. Then Rashi learns you'd be allowed to put them on the floor. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah actually. Rabbeinu Yonah has a different girsa on the roof over here. Has a different girsa in Rashi. He understands, he has a girsa in Rashi, that if you're taking them off during the day for any reason, you're allowed to put them on the floor. Only if you're taking them off close to the night, only then do you have to put them in a keli if you're going to put them on the floor. Or the Rashi, as we have in front of us over here, was saying that no, if the person is going, it's only when the person is taking them off to go to the bathroom, then the Chachamim didn't require him to go and put them in a container. But if you're taking them off because it's late in the day, then you have to put them in the container. Okay. So in principle, yes, when the container is at least a tefach in size, you would be able to put it on the ground, although, you know, we try not to do that, obviously. Right. Okay. The difference is like this. By yoim, if it's during the daytime, golem can mean safer manichem biyadei. Then, like we said, you wrap them up in like a safer Torah, either in their resource, like Rashi says, or in your clothing, like the Rambam says. And you hold them in your heart, you hold them in your hand, in your right hand specifically, by your heart. The reason why your right hand, by the way, is because the left hand is what you use for wiping. We're going to learn, actually, I think in the last parak, we're going to have more dinim about the bathroom, and we're going to talk about over there that person is supposed to wipe only with his left hand. Gemara talks about it. By the way, there are countries where it's considered a terrible insult to offer a person your left hand to shake, because that's considered your dirty hand. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, you have to hold the tefillin in your right hand. If it's at night, where you're not wearing the tefillin anyway, so again, Rashi says we're not even talking about you going to the bathroom. We're just talking about you taking off your tefillin at night, because nighttime, and you're not going to be wearing them until the next morning. then Oislan Kistefachomanichon, then you have to put them in a keli that's at least a tefach in size, and only then you can put them on the ground. So Abaya says that we're saying that you need a tefach would apply to a keli that's not regularly used for the tefillin. Then you need a tefach. But if it's a keli that is designated for the tefillin, like a tefillin bag, after the pachas mitefach, then even if it's less than a tefach in size, it's still considered a chatzitza between it and the ground. I can prove that to you from another case in halacha that there's a difference between where you see that even something that's smaller than a tefach can be considered a chatzitza. But you have a case. We know that anything that's inside a room when there's a mess there becomes tamei. We know though that if you have a sealed container, some impossible. An earthenware container that's sealed shut, some impossible of, then the container itself and anything that's inside it remain tamer. And
the container outside or the
top? A kli cheres does not become tamer from the outside. So as long as you have the opening of it is closed shut, it's sealed shut, then the keli itself remains tamer, and anything inside it is also tamer. And even if it's pachin ktanim, even if it's tiny little jugs, which are less than a tefach in size, normally we say you need an oil tefach normally in order to make it, that something should be, but tumah should be blocked from a certain area. But here we see that even pachin ktanim, even tiny little vessels, can block like that if it's some impossible. So you see from that, says Mazutra or Ravashi, you see from that, therefore, that you don't always need a tefach. In order for it to be considered a separate rishos. So the same thing over here. When you're using a keli that's not usually designated for the tefillin, then it needs to be at least a tefach in size. But if you have a keli that's designated for the tefillin, then it's okay to put them in them, and even to put them on the ground, even if it's less than a tefach in size.
Is ceramics included in keli ceramics?
Yes. Yeah, but that's, yeah. Okay. Well, Amar Rav Baba Chana. He have as linen vastuated of Yeshanon. So Rabbi Baba Chana says also, when we used to follow Rabbi Yeshanon around, and we'd be learning Torah from him, he have a boil male of Besakise. If Rabbi Yeshanon had to go to the bathroom, so it depends. He have a knock at Sefer da Ganta. If he was holding a Sefer of a Ganta, keep in mind, at that time, Torah Shabbat Peh was not allowed to be written down yet, so you didn't have many Torim other than you had Sefer Torah and books of Nach. But still, sometimes people would write down books of Agadta so they don't forget these things. You were allowed to keep yourself private notes and things like that. So if he was holding such a paper, have a Yohib Lon, he would give it to us rather than take it into the bathroom with him. If he have a knock at tefillin, lo have a Yohib Lon, but if he was holding or wearing tefillin, he would not give it to us. Omar, he says, Hoyo v'sharun rabbanon, since the Chachamim anyway allowed you to take tefillin into the bathroom under these conditions that we were talking about, ninteron, that better let the tefillin guard me. In other words, there was, sometimes you have mazikim in a basic case. So like this, I may as well have, given that anyway the Chachamim allowed it, then I may as well keep the tefillin with me, and that way it'll help to protect against mazikim. There's other explanations and other gersoys. One is ninteron means I will guard them rather than giving it to you. And then there's a gersoy that the Rif has, like loy nitrach, I'm not going to be matriach, you talmidim to hold the trillin for me. And this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that we said there's hetedim to bring trillin into the bathroom where necessary. But that heter does not apply to svarim, because svarim you don't have to have with you all the time. Put them down someplace else before you feel the need to go to the bathroom. Similarly, Omar Rava, Kiyabaz Linen Basmajid of Nachman. Similarly, Rava says, when we would follow Rav Nachman at Talmidim, and again, he had to go to the bathroom, Kiyabanoket Sifra da Agadda Yohivlon, if he was holding a Sefer of Agadda, he would give it to us, and we would hold it for him while he's doing that. Kiyabanoket Tfilin Lo Yohivlon, but if he was holding or wearing Tfilin, he wouldn't. Omar, he says again, Hoyo Vashurun and Abanon, since the Chachamim allowed to bring Tfilin into the bathroom under these conditions, Nimtur on them, let it guard me while I'm in the bathroom, or let me guard it.
He could have given them to them.
He could have given it to them, but he said, since there's already a heter for it, then in that case, I might as well keep them with me and then use this heter, so that way the source of the tefillin, that way the kedusha of the tefillin will protect me. Or again, the Rif's gear says, "Lo nisrach, I don't want to burden you, talmidim, having to hold my stuff for me." Okay. Turn it up on. Lo yoichas on tefillin b'yodiv a sefer Torah b'zroyah b'yisbalo. A person is not allowed to hold tefillin or sefer Torah in his hands and daven Shmoneh Esrei, because then he's constantly focusing on them to make sure that he doesn't drop them. The lo yashkin behem mayim, also when a person is holding tefillin or a sefer Torah, he's not allowed to urinate in them. He's not allowed to sleep. He was talking primarily about when he's wearing tefillin. He's not allowed to sleep in them, wearing tefillin, not shenas keva, not an actual full sleep where he actually goes to sleep. Veloy shenas ara, not even a casual sleep. So Rashi says shema yafiach because he might pass gas. So that would only apply if he's wearing the tefillin. There's a different girsa over here, which Shagoris Agrobin, Shema Yapil, that he might drop them. And in that case, it applies even if he's just holding the tefillin of the Sefer Torah. Okay. Omer Shmuel, so Shmuel says, this that was saying you're not allowed to hold a tefillin or a Sefer Torah while you're diving into an estray, sacking a knife or mois or money or ka'ora or a bowl or a plate, the kicker or a loaf of bread, they have the same din, because all of those things, a person is worried that he's going to drop them. And therefore, the same din will apply, that a person is not allowed to hold those things while he's davening Shemoneh Esrei, because he's going to be nervous about dropping them, and then he's not going to focus on Shemoneh Esrei. So in general, the person can say, you're really not supposed to hold anything else that you would hold, that you're going to be concerned about, that you might drop, you're not supposed to hold during Shemoneh Esrei. What you are allowed to do, they say, is first of all, you're allowed to hold the actual siddur, because you're holding it for the purposes of davening. Also, for example, on Sukkot, you're allowed to hold your lulav. You're allowed to hold your lulav while you're davening Shemoneh Esrei.
How would you do it otherwise?
Well, but you can put it down on the table, is what people usually do. But you are technically allowed to hold your lulav while you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, because that's something, I mean, obviously you're nervous that you're going to drop it, but nevertheless, on the other hand, it is the mitzvah of the day, and therefore you're allowed to. Okay. Omer Rava Omer of Sheshes. Omer Rava Omer of Sheshes. Les hilchsat yihomas nisa. This that we just said in the Braisa, that you're not allowed to urinate while you're wearing tefillin, he says the halacha is not like that Braisa. The Beit Shammai, obviously that Braisa must be only like the Shammai, who said that you're not even allowed to take tefillin into the bathroom when you have to leave them in the holes that are facing Rosh Hashanah. The E Beit Hillel, because if you were going to say the Braisa was like Beit Hillel, can't be. Hash the Beit Hillel Shavuashari. Beit Hillel allows you to bring tefillin even into a Beis HaKisei Kavua. Beis HaKisei Arai Miboy, should it need to be said, Beis Hillel said, you take them in your hand and go into the Beis HaKisei Kavua. Does it need to be said when it's a Beis HaKisei Arai, where you don't, in other words, as Rashi explains, again, Beis HaKisei Arai means the first time anybody's using it. For Tzoya, you find a place where people have used before, generally speaking, and you go there. But for urination, it just gets absorbed right into the ground. So therefore, people will just do it anywhere. According to Beis Hillel, of course you should be allowed to take the tefillin in there. So what do you mean you're not allowed to? So the Gemara says, Nasi, I have a contradiction. You're telling me this Braisa is only according to Beis Shammai, but we have another Braisa that says, Dvorim shi tauti l'chokan or tauti l'chokan. Certain things that I was matir for you here in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, I am asking to you in a Beis HaKisei Arai. Now, usually we think a Beis HaKisei Kavua is more stringent because people regularly go to the bathroom over there. A Beis HaKisei Arai should be less stringent because it's the first time anybody's using it. But we see a Braisa that says the other way around. There are certain things that are mutter in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, but also in a Beis HaKisei Arai. My love, tefillin. Presumably, we're talking about tefillin. That this that we said before, Beis Hillel says you're allowed to take them into a Beis HaKisei Kavua, but you're not allowed to urinate in them. So if you say that Braisa goes like the Hillel, it's apparently the same Braisa as what we quoted, it's a continuation of the same Braisa as we quoted before. So if you're going to say it's like the Hillel, good. What does it mean? What am I matter to you? You're allowed to take tefillin into a permanent bathroom, but you're not allowed to take them into a temporary bathroom and urinate over there.
Right.
So it works according to the Eli Amit Shammai. If you say it's according to the Shammai, what do you mean? I was master you here and I was after you there. Holy Shor of Lamidi. They're not allowing anything. They're not allowing anything by Beis HaKisei Kavua. So what do you mean that we're saying, the Braisa is saying then that it's allowed, that something that's mutter in a Beis HaKisei Kavua is also in a Beis HaKisei Arai? According to them, there's nothing that's mutter in a Beis HaKisei Kavua. The answer is not necessarily is that Braisa talking about the difference as far as tefillin. The Braisa may be talking about a different thing about how much of a person's body is he allowed to uncover when it comes to one to go into the bathroom for one purpose or another. Kitanya hila in tefach v'tefachayim. The Braisa may be talking about the one tefach versus the two tefachim. The Tonicha, namely, we learn in one Braisa, when a person is going to defecate and he's sitting down or squatting down to do that, Megala la'achra tefach ulafonav tifchayim. He's allowed to uncover a tefach behind him, no more, because it's tenuous. Because after all, even you're in the bathroom, you have still have to recognize that Hashem is everywhere, and therefore that you have to still act in a tenuistic way as much as possible. So you're allowed to uncover a tefach behind, or a front of tefachim, but in front he's allowed to uncover two tefachim, because the stream of urine goes far, and therefore you need a greater distance for it to not get on his clothes. But Tanya Idach, then another braisa says, behind you, you're allowed to uncover a tefach. In front, you're not allowed to uncover anything.
So
that's the point, in other words. So the braisa that says, dvorim shi tauti l'chokan, sauti l'chokan, we are indeed talking about, in a certain sense, besakisi kavua, where people regularly go to defecate, versus besakisi arai, where people only go to urinate. But we're saying the difference is not as far as tefillin. The difference is how much of your body are you allowed to uncover. For gdolim, for excrement, you're allowed to uncover a greater amount of your body than you are. So we would assume. My lab, Idi Vaidi Ish, we would assume. Both braises are talking about a man. V'lekasha kan l'gdolim kan l'tanim. So one's talking about gdolim, about excreting. The other one's talking about tanim, urine. And we're saying, therefore, that what's allowed when it comes to gdolim, namely, to uncover two tefachim is also to uncover two tefachim in front is also when it comes to urine, where he's not allowed to uncover anything in front. So the braisa may not be talking about what you're allowed to wear and not allowed to wear as far as tefillin in a basic case. It's talking about what you're allowed to cover and what you're allowed to uncover and whatnot. So therefore, so in other words, the braisa is not at all relevant to tefillin. So you could still say that like Rava did before, that the braisa that said you're not allowed to urinate while wearing tefillin may be only according to Beit Shammai. The tefillin would actually allow it.
This last braisa
is not talking about tefillin. It's talking about how much of your body you're allowed to uncover. So the Gemara says, how could you think that? If you're talking about that one part of the braisa is talking about where he's urinating, what's the point of uncovering behind him a tefach? What good does that do? You urinate from the front. If the braisa is telling us that one braisa says in front two tefachim, in the back one tefach, the other one says in the front nothing, in the back one tefach. If the second one is talking about urine, then why are you uncovering in the back? You urinate from the front. Ela idi v'idi v'gdolim. So rather, we have to say that both braises are talking about gdolim. Both of them are talking about defecating. V'leikasha habeish habeisha. The difference is one's talking about a man, the other is talking about a woman. So a man urinates. There's a stream of urine coming out from the front, going in front of him. So he has to uncover two tefachim in front of him. Whereas a woman, when she sits down, the urine comes from directly beneath her. So therefore, you don't need to uncover anything in front because it's not streaming in front of her anyway. It's streaming underneath her. So that's
you're talking about the back and the front here.
Yeah, so that's the point. In other words, one braisa says la'achra tefach olafonav tefachayim. It's talking about a man. He's allowed to uncover one tefach behind him, two in front of him, because he's going to have a stream of urine that's going to go in front of him. Whereas a woman is only allowed a tefach behind her and nothing in front. So there's no reason for her to uncover anything in front because it goes beneath her anyway. Okay. So the question is, the problem with that is that braisa continues. Rashi points out, even though we're saying both of them are talking about gdolim, the fact is when a person is straining to get gdolim out, to get to excrete, a lot of times he urinates as well. So therefore, by man we allow him the extra thing for urination, and by a woman not. Okay. So that would mean, when he said Dvarim Shal Sarti L'Chokan, Tauti L'Chokan, or Sarti L'Chokan, it would mean what I'm allowing you by a man, I'm asking to you by a woman, because a woman does not have to uncover, is not allowed to uncover in front. Okay, so the question is, Yehochi Hodik Atoni Alok Zohu Kavachomer She'en Elo Pruva. In that case, what does the braisa mean when it continues? This is a Kavachomer that you can't refute. This is a Kavachomer where I'm not able to refute your Kavachomer. So what does that mean? My anal of tshuva, what do you mean? There's no way of refuting it. Doubted the mil sahachi isa. The fact is, those are the biological facts, the difference between men and women. So what kind of kavachoymer could you have brought that, the saying that I can't answer your kavachoymer? Elolav tefillin. So evidently, it must be talking about tefillin after all. So there you would say, but on the other hand, you should say a kavachoymer. If you're allowed to wear tefillin into a besakise kavua, shouldn't you be allowed to wear it into a besakise arai? So it is talking about Tefillin after all, and in that case, it's Yurta D'Rabba. In that case, it would contradict D'Rabba.
1 second, can you repeat why we cannot talk about...
If we're saying that we're talking about that the difference between how much a man is allowed to uncover versus a woman, then there's no Kavah Chomer that can bring it over here. The fact of the matter is, the biological facts are that a man's Aver sticks out and his urine stream goes in front of him, a woman's doesn't. And therefore, so that's it. Those are the biological facts, and that's that. There's no reason to mention a potential Kavah Chomer that you could have made where he's saying, you're right, I can't slog up that Kavah Chomer, but nevertheless, this is the gene.
From what to what?
If you're going to say that it's talking about what you're allowed to take into the bathroom, that what you're allowed to wear tefillin, when you're allowed to wear tefillin, basic kisei kavua, basic kisei arai, then you have a Kavah Chomer. You're telling me you're allowed in a basic kisei kavua, but not in a basic kisei arai, but shouldn't it be a Kavah Chomer? If you're allowed in a kavua where there's regularly tzoya there, how much more so you should be allowed in arai? And you're right, you would say, I don't have an answer to that, but nevertheless, these are the facts. But if you're talking, if the braita is talking about how much of your body you're allowed to uncover, what Kavah Chomer? There's no Kavah Chomer. You can bring it over there. So obviously it must be talking about tefillin or tiyuv to d'rabba. In that case, it contradicts d'rabba, who said tiyuv to d'rabba omen of sheshes. So therefore, it's a contradiction to d'rabba in the name of Rav Sheshes, who said that that braita that we said before, you're not allowed to urinate in tefillin, is only according to Beis Shammai. Then this braita over here wouldn't work. Because again, it can't work according to Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai wouldn't say you're allowed in a basic kisei kavua, but not in a basic kisei arai. They argue in both places. He must say, you're right, tiyuv to. Okay, so the question is, we call Makam Kasha. So in other words, so far, what we're saying is that this that we said before, you're not allowed to urinate in tefillin, that would be according to everybody. Not like Rava wanted to say that it's only according to Beis Shammai. No, it would be the actual halacha. Okay.
From this tefillin.
Okay, so the question is, we call Makam Kasha. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, we still have the question, what about the Kavah Chomer? Hash the Beis HaKisei Kavua, Shori Beis HaKisei Arai LaKoshvin. If you're allowed to take tefillin into a permanent Beis HaKisei, even though there's soya over there, how much more so you should be allowed to take it into a Beis HaKisei Arai? The answer is Hoki Kama. The difference is, the reason why the Braita is saying the difference is like this. Beis HaKisei Kavua, Deleka Nitzoytzoy Shori. Because we have to consider the matter of drops of urine that fall on the person's legs. When a person goes to a Beis HaKisei Kavua, he's sitting down. Therefore, the urine is not going to dribble onto his legs. So he doesn't have to wipe it off. So therefore, and in fact, Rashi brings from a Gemara in Yoma that a person has to wipe them off. He's not allowed to go out with drops of urine on his legs because people are then going to mistakenly think that he has some kind of problem with his aver. He's a krus shafa, that the tip of it is cut off or whatever, and if such a person is not able to have children.
How would they know?
Because they would see the drops of urine on his legs. Remember, in those times, people usually went barefoot. So like this, people are going to think he's a krus shafa, and they're going to be mostly lies and say that his children are among aver. So therefore, you have to wipe them off. So in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, you don't have any choices. Therefore, Shari, therefore he would be allowed to, therefore he would be allowed to take the tefillin in there. Beis HaKisei Arai, it can insert this asri, but when it comes to a Beis HaKisei Arai, you're standing up and urinating, and there's a much higher likelihood that there's going to be an insertus where then he has to wipe them off. Then he has to wipe them off his legs. So then he's not allowed to be holding tefillin in his hand because he needs his hand in order to wipe that off. So the question is, So the question is, Yehochi Amai.
Narai is much less, it's more superficial.
It's more superficial, and a person stands up to do it. A person doesn't sit down because he's not planning to do Gzolim over there. Yeah. So the question is, Yehochi Amai Einol of Tshuva. So what do you mean in that case? You're saying I would bring a Kavah Chomer, you would bring a Kavah Chomer, and I can't refute it. What do you mean you can't refute it? Tshuva Mal Yasihi. You have a very good reputation, what we just said, it's so just versus not. The answer is, Hochi Kama. Hom Milsa. What it means is like this. This that we're saying about when you're allowed to bring tefillin in and when you're not allowed to, we can say that it's on the basis of the reason of nitzotis. V'loy pesi lab kavah chomer. Don't try to use a kavah chomer to make it. D'yasi lab teres kavah chomer, zeh kavah chomer shayin lab tshuva. If you tried to use a kavah chomer, then you would say it's the other way around, then it's backwards. Why would you have that? A basic kisei arai should be more stringent than a basic kisei kavua. So you have to say the reason is because of nitzotis. That is what it means. That Kavah Chomer, Shein Olam Tshuva. If you tried to do it by means of a Kavah Chomer, you would end up coming to the wrong conclusion. So you have to instead consider the fact that there's a matter of Nitzotis over here, and therefore you're going to after it in a Beis HaKisei Shalarai, because then there's going to be Nitzotis, there's going to be drops that he has to wipe off his legs, as opposed to a Beis HaKisei Kavua, you don't have that issue.
If you're trying to make
Kavah Chomer, that you would say, yeah, then you'd come on backwards, because then you'd say, if you're allowed in a Kavua, surely you should be allowed in Arai. But you'd be forgetting the fact that they get. A person wants to go in to an actual meal. So we're not just talking about that he's having a snack. We're talking about they're going to be sitting down to an actual meal. And maybe that he has to go to the bathroom in the middle of the meal. So instead of doing that, instead of having to excuse himself in the middle of the meal, Mahalach Asara Pamim Dalad Amos, first he should walk 10 times 4 Amos, or Dalad Pamim Yud Amos, so 4 times 10 Amos, and each time check himself and see, and then sit down and see, does he feel now the need to go to the bathroom? Because when you walk around, it makes you have an urge. No, it's not proper. It's not jerichet. Then he goes to the bathroom, and then he goes in, and that way he doesn't have to leave the meal in the middle, which would be a lack of jerichet. Okay. When he's going into the Suda, he takes off his tefillin because Rashi says he may get drunk during the meal and it would be a bizoyan to be drunk while he's wearing the tefillin, and only then v'nichnas, only then he goes into the meal. That statement, the Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees with what Rabbi Chiya says. The Amr Rabbi Chiya, manichan al shulchanoi, Rabbi Chiya says that he puts the tefillin on the table, v'chein hodu loy, and it's actually that's a glorious thing for him. That's the right way. That way, when he's saying the bracha, he'll have the tefillin right away available, and he can put on his tefillin before he benches. The ad emas. So until what point should he be having them on the table, and then he puts them back on? Ad man bracha, until it comes to the time for the bracha, and then he should put them back on.
Benching,
yes. I think there are Rishonim who learn that Adman Brocha means the Brocha at the beginning of the meal. He takes them off, and then when he's sitting down and he's ready to make the Brocha, Amotzi, then he puts them back on.
There wasn't much time then.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah. Okay. Getting back to Tefillin, Tony Chod, a third Adam Tefillin Ma'osa Ba'afrak Susai, one Brisa says that a person is allowed to keep his tefillin together with his money in his afrak susay, which Rashi says means the sudr on his head, the turban or whatever that a person wears on his head. You have like long ends of it that you can store things in. So a person is allowed to store his tefillin and his money in his afrak susay, one brisa says, but kani idach lo yotsu. Another brisa says he's not allowed to. So what is it? The answer is, like kasha hod azmenei hod lai azmenei. One is where he designated that this particular sudr is going to be used. Actually, says im ma'osav doesn't literally mean that he has the tefillin and the money right next to each other. It means that he has one knot in which he keeps his tefillin, and then the next knot over, he keeps his money. But still, one brisa says that's also. So the answer is hoda azmenei, hoda lai azmenei. It depends whether he designated the sudr to hold tefillin in or not. Once he designated it, then it becomes, and then he's not allowed to use it for other purposes. The Amr of Chis, the high sudr to tefillin, when you have a sudr, you have a cloth like that you designated to put tefillin into, the Azmin and the Mesa Beit Tefillin, he designated it to... We're going to be stopping him. Okay. So the Azmin and Lameitzah Beit Tefillin, he designated it to put tefillin in. Sur Beit Tefillin also Lameitzah Beit Pshiti. Once he put tefillin in it, then he's not allowed to put coins in it. But if he designated it and didn't yet put in the tefillin, or it's Sur Beit Velay Azmin, or one time he happened to put tefillin in it, but he didn't yet designate it, Shori Lameitzah Beit Zuzi, then he's allowed to put coins in it. Ula Abaya, what about according to Abaya, Dama Azmanam Milsihi? Abaya says just designating it itself is already considered an important thing. Azmane Afagabalai Survey, then even if he designated it, even if he didn't put on the tefillin yet, he's still not allowed to use it for anything else. Survey, once he put the tefillin in it, E Azmane also, if he designated that from now on he's going to use it for tefillin, then it's also Eli Azmane Loy, and if he doesn't designate it, then he's allowed to put coins.
So the halacha
is you need both. You need designation and you need to put. Designation is not enough. The halacha is not like a baya. Nowadays, our tefillin bags to begin with are made with extra compartments and whatever, and you're allowed to put other things. In fact, the opposite points out, you put your talus in with it, and the talus doesn't have the kedusha of the tefillin. So you have this din to it, so it doesn't necessarily apply nowadays. You're allowed to put other things into your tefillin.